Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 235. My name is Chris Fricchio. I am here with Travis Baum.
Hello.
And Mr. Jeff Chorney.
What up, mate?
And today, what are we talking about today?
I don't even know what we're talking
about today. Like extra screens.
Oh, right. Wow.
Oh, that's right. That's
what I get for drinking before the podcast.
You lush. Chris, you're always fucking drinking on the show and bringing it down.
Before that, we'll do some distractions and news, and afterwards we'll do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. Before that, let's see how everyone's doing. Travis, what is up?
Let's see. Busy week at work, actually. I have big stuff at work. I'm actually getting a complete remodel in my store. They're redoing my store from the ground up because my GameStop was one of the stores that was once an EB, so it has, like, different countertops and different types of ways we store things, and they want to make it all GameStop. So what we're doing, we're getting everything changed out. It's going to be more of the store of the future look, so I'm getting really excited about that. I'm pumped right now, but tomorrow starts the actual physical work of getting it all taken care of, which is basically removing everything, which
it's basically, I mean, like inventory.
Well, yeah, I'm taking everything from off the walls, and we got to put things in boxes, coordinate it to where it's supposed to be, so we know where to look for stuff if we need to. And then Monday night, I'm probably gonna be at work from 6 p.m. to 8 a.m. on Tuesday morning. It's gonna be a long day, but I'm really excited though. I'm kind of pumped for it because the store that I have is actually one of the oldest stores in the world. This was an electronics boutique. I mean, you can carbon date those things back to 20 years ago, I think. So, yeah. And they're
pretty
old.
That's Genesis Super Nintendo days, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So, this store needs it. So I'm excited to be a part of that and have my store be a little more, have that new game smell. I don't know. I like that. And then after that, directly planning Megan and I's 5-year anniversary was, a couple of Tuesdays ago. And
we
were so busy because she's doing tutoring since it's summertime now for some, little extra scratch. So, what we're doing is, planning our, 4th of July week. We're going to spend 4th of July in Charleston, South Carolina, on the beach, on the water. And, to celebrate there, have a good time, you know, check out the sights.
Is that close to, like, Myrtle Beach?
I don't know. It's in America. That's as far as I know.
I just know Myrtle Beach is in South Carolina.
Somewhere.
Geographical genius.
Yeah, so anyway. it's in America. We're spending a vacation there.
It is south of Canada, Jeff.
That's where it is.
Shit.
That's exactly where it is.
Canada, God. So, yeah.
Man.
Except for Minnesota. That's not south of
So that's pretty much going on. Busy stuff at work and then planning a vacation. So I'm excited about that. Jeffrey?
Hey.
What's the haps?
Not much, man. Last week, a buddy of mine's birthday was on Friday, and he's one of my friends who just recently had a baby, like, a few months back. So he doesn't get out too often. So he wanted to do, like, just like a guy's thing at some of the patios in downtown Toronto. The original plan was to go to one bar and, like, in the afternoon, probably around 2 o'clock, and maybe kind of bar hop, patio hop, but it ended up just everyone to stay there till about 1 a.m. So it was pretty fun. It was good. I was the first guy there, though. I was sitting there at 2 all by myself. I took the day off. I'm like, this is gonna be fun. And I'm sitting there by myself at this bar, like, on a patio. It's friggin' hot as shit out. Luckily, people started getting there just about 20 minutes after, but for that 20 minutes, you do kind of feel like a douche being sitting at this, like, table by yourself at, like, 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday. And you're like, no, trust me, people are coming. Believe me. No, really. These seats will be taken by a lot of drunk motherfuckers. But, no, that was good. And then the rest of the weekend was, kind of relaxing. I mean, I did something on Sunday, which is something I haven't done in so long, and I went for a bike ride with Tanya. She has her own bike. I don't. But in Toronto, we have these things called, like, Bixie bikes. Basically, you kind of rent them, I guess. They're kind of like got these stations all around Toronto, and it's the first half an hour is free, and then everything after that, I can't remember how much they charge by the hour, half an hour, but you can, like, basically put your bike back after half an hour, take it out of another spot, and then still drive for free. So we kind of, like, rode around the lake and stuff, like down by the lake and waterfront and stuff. It was actually kind of cool. Met up with a couple friends and hung out at this, like, kind of park and just kind of chilled. Had a couple of beers down there, and don't know. It's kind of cool. I kind of want to buy a bike now.
Wait a minute. So when we went up to Toronto, Megan and I, all that walking we did, and you're telling me we could have just rode bikes.
They didn't have them then. This is something that was just put in last year.
A likely so. Story.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Canada just got bikes.
Well, you would have just got bikes.
They are so high. Yo, Jeff, dude, MASH is premiering in like 2 weeks. You got to.
Are you serious? Season 2? Season 1 was so good. So good. But no, it's pretty cool. It's kind of like you pay for like a little like a subscription fee for the day and then you just kind of like you kind of just go to it's pretty cool. I'm like, this is actually pretty awesome. I mean, the bikes are kind of weird looking a bit, but it got me to think, like, I think I'm going to want to invest in a bike because I haven't had one since I was in, like, high school because two of my bikes, the only bikes I've owned since high school have been stolen. So, like, yeah. I said, fuck that bike business. I'm going to be lazy. But, yeah, that's about it.
Cool.
That was my exciting last weekend, I guess, and this week's just been same old shit.
Same old shit.
Yeah.
This week's been the same old shit for me.
Nice.
Pretty much.
Sounds good.
The only thing new is that I've been working a lot on the app this week, and I feel like I'm no closer to getting to where I want to be. I ran into an issue where basically I need two pieces to communicate, and there's no way to get them to communicate. So, trying to figure that out, but it is coming along. I mean, I've only got that one. That one issue left, and that's pretty much it. So, and then I'll be able to get it out there to the people that wanted to do beta. So,
yeah,
cool. Hopefully,
we're all waiting with bated breath.
I'm sure you are.
Beta
wake up
breath.
every day.
But, yeah, I can't wait to get on that.
Hey, you know, if someone wants to buy me a Mac, I will put it on iOS. I have no problem.
Well, I'm pretty sure, you know, we'll be able to find someone to port that shit over, I think. Someone who already has a license, hopefully.
The license really isn't that big of a deal. I just don't. I mean, I don't want to have a Mac to compile it.
That's, yeah, exactly.
That's my only issue. I mean, the license is only like $100 a year. So
doesn't Travis have? Oh no, Megan.
Yeah, Megan has one.
Yeah, Megan
you
has one.
Take that shit. She's on my computer all the time. So
exactly. While she's playing,
she's doing nothing but playing Diablo right now. Anyway,
dude, she's like level 40 something now. I'm like, oh my god,
is she really?
It's getting embarrassing.
Dude, I just hit 39 last night.
No, she's ahead of you, dude.
Hey, let's talk about games then. Let's get started on Diablo. Yeah, so I hit 39 yesterday, got my first legendary drop.
I have not got a legendary yet.
Really? You haven't got one yet?
No, neither is Jason. Jason has like a 60 level character, another character in like the 40s or 50. Like,
wow.
He hasn't got a legendary yet. I have not got a legendary yet. Actually, a lot of people who I look at their stats, they don't have a legendary either. Only a few people I know. You, Vossi, and Scott Sauer are the only people I know. Of the people that we really, like regularly talk to and play with who have legendary drops.
Shadow Hado had a legendary drop yesterday as well. I mean, I can't use mine. It's no good.
Well, you know? Yeah. Well, they're changing that.
You get like a two-handed hammer?
It's a two-handed sword. I shit you not.
Oh, God.
It's a two-handed sword. It's got like a plus 16 strength and a plus like 24 dexterity. So it's not even that good. And, you know, I happened to go on the auction house and I looked for this particular item that I've got. And there's just like fucking hundreds of them, you know.
Oh, really?
I feel bad. Like, should I get Megan to come on the show and talk to you guys?
Yeah, seriously.
You guys keep talking. I'll be right back.
But yeah, I mean, it's like I wanted to sell it on the auction house because it actually would have lowered my DPS by like 250 or something.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like a lot of the legendaries aren't even like that's one of the problems is
they're not
if you
that
go to
good.
The auction house and they're not that great, so they're going to go and actually tweak all of them apparently because they want them to be actually worth something. Because if you go to the auction house now, there's the rares and even some blues are way fucking better, and they don't want like they're way less rare than these legendaries, and that doesn't really make sense, right?
Right.
So
right.
They're going to change. That's what I want to talk about actually, is because it's the game's really starting to piss me off, and it's not because the game is still kind of fun. It's still a lot of fun actually, to be honest with you. I still have a lot of fun playing it, but. Ever since hitting hell mode, I'm on hell now, I think like level 52 or 53, I think 52, okay. I've noticed that everything I pick up that is rare or blue or anything like that is pretty damn good, but for a lower level than me.
I've been noticing that a lot too lately. I mean, even now, it's like, especially considering I started getting stuff out of the auction house, it's like the rare stuff. I think I'm wearing like two items that I actually found.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's, yeah, exactly. And that's what I found, like, before that. But now I think it's, like, the reason why I think they're doing that is because the auction house, the real money one, just went live, like,
right.
2 days ago. And first of all, that's just ridiculous. People are throwing items on there for, like, $250. That's just...
Well, that's maximum.
Yeah, that's to be expected, though. Yeah. People are like, let's see how much we can sell. And then it eventually even itself out. What bugs me, though, the fact that I'm finding all these items that are really good, but for other classes and for lower levels, tells me that it's programmed that way. So, because these items that are, if you're finding on the auction house, have to come from somewhere. Someone's got to find them. So I'm thinking it's meant to be like that. So you throw your stuff on the auction house, and then when you throw it on the auction house, they're hoping for people to sell it, and they're going to get a cut of it. Because if you want it for real money, they actually get a cut out of it.
Oh, yeah, they get 15% of real money,
or something
too.
Like that. Yeah, or you can do it where you keep it in basically like Blizzard credits, so you keep it within the, I guess, within your account. Kind of like, picture it as kind of like store credit, where
yeah,
they
it's,
don't take
it's like having
it.
It's like having Blizzard points.
Exactly.
You have Blizzard points that you get to spend in the real money auction house.
Exactly, but the thing is, yeah, it's not like real money, it's not like, yeah, that's the only can't make a hit. It's not actually real money you're getting in your pocket. But this is where the problem is. It takes away the risk, the reward aspect of having the game playing on difficult, higher difficulties. If you don't want to buy stuff from the auction house, because then you're stuck fighting shit over and over and over again. Then you finally beat it, and you know that when it drops stuff, it's not going to be A, better than what you already have. Or B, it's not going to be for your class. So it forces you to go and sell that shit on the auction house and to look for stuff on the auction house. And I don't think that's really cool at all. Like, it's not. Like, I'd say, like, I haven't found something really good for my character in a while.
Yeah, I have the resident or the home pro sitting next to me. She's nodding your head. Nodding her head in agreement right here.
Yeah, she's, like, right around there, too, exactly. Like, she's going to be like, I can't find any cool shit. I got to
go. Yeah, what
there.
Level are you?
Like, she's got to be 44. She's like,
44.
Wow, holy crap, she's 44. That's I thought. Yeah, so so that at that point it's like, fuck, well, I don't know, like I'm gonna go on the real auction house, but right now the real money one is kind of screwing that up because people aren't putting stuff on the gold one, or the stuff on the gold one is ridiculously expensive because I don't know if they just figured forget it. If it's actually a good item, I'm gonna sell it for real money or sell it for a lot of freaking gold.
I have a feeling that the real money auction house is not going to be popular for long. And the reason I say that is because, number one, you can only, the maximum is $250. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for us, it's like, I can't imagine ever spending that much money on a virtual item, right?
Well,
but
God,
there's fucking
exactly.
stupid-ass people out there that will spend thousands on shit like this.
Dude,
I know.
There's people who spend thousands of dollars to have, like, to not put in any work and have, like, a level 60 World of Warcraft character.
Exactly.
Like that back
exactly.
It's like people who have the money and don't know what to do with it, they either spend it on that or their coke habit. So
and then,
it's like one or the other, or hookers.
And then the people that are selling it, if they actually want the money out of it, they have to go through PayPal and they get charged 15%. Why wouldn't you just stick it on eBay?
Yeah, yeah.
Why wouldn't
you
just keep using eBay? There's no reason not to at this point.
Yeah, well, you know? My point is I think it's going to ruin the fun for the game for me because I'm like, I know now when I, like, I beat Diablo on Nightmare the other night and I can't remember the boss's name.
Ezekiel or something
Diablo.
Like that?
Yeah, something like that. I went, like, through hell trying to beat both of them, me and Mark, Game Attack, like Robbie's friend,
yeah.
And we died over and over and over again. I did not even get a yellow drop from either of them, just some blues that were useless. And I was like, "Are you serious?" So now I'm at the point I'm going through hell now, and hell is like the same thing. But when you get like to like a big blue or mob or yellow mob, I'm dying over and over, and I'm like, I don't even know why I'm bothering because I just know I'm just going to get shit that's not for my character and not better than what I have. So I'm just going to have to sell it, wait for that to hopefully sell in the auction house so I can actually make some gold and then go buy more stuff that can make my character better. It's just,
right.
I don't, and you can tell it's just, Blizzard did this on purpose because they want to drive people to use the auction house, and now they want to drive people to use the real auction house, which is even more retarded if you do what I want to spend. I don't want to spend real money on fake items, let's put it that way.
I agree.
Like, yeah. Maybe, like, if they're, like, 50 cents to a dollar, maybe, here or there, like, every, like, say, like, five levels, yeah, maybe that's worth it. But I paid $60 for the game. So, it's like they're throwing in, they're kind of trying their way to squeeze in a free-to-play MMO-type strategy with the game, but yet still paying, you still have to pay full price to buy the game in the first place.
Right.
And I don't think that's really cool. and it's having an effect on people who don't want to use it. At first, I was like, ah, it's fine. I just won't use it. It's fine. I'll just play the game and just like I played two, and it'll be, you know, everything will be fucking puppies and rainbows. But no.
Or unicorns and rainbows.
Is it killing your drive for the game, though? I mean,
That's the thing. It's really not. Like, I still have a lot of fun playing it, and that's what really bugs me, because right now I'm just like, fuck it, I'm not going to do the auctionizer stuff. But, like, I really want to get to... I want to get a character to level 60. That is my goal. I've never hit a level cap on any game that has levels, ever.
And yeah, I got really 20 and a half 60. Levels left.
So, it goes by pretty quick. So
I just,
not really
I just started
plan,
Act 2 on Nightmare.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got. Yeah, you'll be by the time you're done Nightmare, you should be around 50.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's still fun. It's still right now. It's still definitely head above everything for my game of the year. But it's now I'm really realizing how much they want people to use that auction house to buy gear and not actually find it yourself. Which I don't think it kind of goes against what Diablo is all about.
Yeah, I really have not found anything. I've found seriously like two or three things that I actually have on my character right now. And one of them is just a magic ring. It's not even a rare ring. You know, it's a magic ring that happened to have a high intelligence bonus. And then I stuck a damage modifier in it. Or maybe it's vice versa. It's vice versa. Yeah. It had a high damage modifier. And I just dropped an intelligence gem in it. And it boosted my DPS by like 100 and something. So, mm-hmm. I've got that. That ring is like... That ring and I think a pair of boots is all I've actually found. And
yeah, everything else has been bought, yeah. I bought a new chest armor yesterday for 80,000 gold because I needed some resistance on stuff. And it's a nice piece of armor, but still, I'm like, fuck, man, it would be so much better to find it.
Yeah.
How did you get 80,000 gold?
You kind of build up a lot of gold pretty quickly.
Yeah,
I'm
sitting on about 200,000 right now.
Yeah, I had about 190-something when I bought that thing. I sell everything now. I don't break stuff down. I don't bother crafting. So I basically, my rare stuff.
Yeah, crafting is pointless.
Yeah, and I basically throw my rare stuff in the gold auction house for relatively cheap prices just to move it so people will buy it. And then I just sell all the other stuff in the game to the vendors or whatever.
That's pretty much what I do.
I know Megan has a hard time like holding on to money and everything like that. But like she's also building up the... You're still building up the blacksmith, right?
Well, that was going to be my question to you guys. Is it even worth it to have the blacksmith level up? Because 90% of the time I have something better.
Yeah, right. And that's the way it's been for me, too.
Yeah, I wouldn't even bother with it.
And the other 10% of the time, it's you can get something better in the auction house anyway. So
yeah, and for cheaper.
For cheaper.
Yeah, don't even level up your jewel crafter either. Making jewels is so expensive.
Oh, hell yeah, man. I bought like the, what is it, the perfect square?
Yeah, yeah.
The other day for like... I don't know. It was like 1,000 or something. It was like 1,300.
Yeah. And it costs like something like 10,000 to make one of them. Or
yeah,
something
it costs 500 to make a what is it? What's the like the second level? It's like there's chipped and then there's like flawed. It costs 500 for flawed, and then it costs like another 1,000 just to get a regular one. It's like, dumb. Why would you want to do it this way?
Yeah, so. Megan, don't. Oh, hi, Megan. By the way,
hi, Megan. Hey. Welcome to the podcast.
It's hard to get a word in with Jeff.
Sorry.
That's usually the problem with me, though.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's usually on Travis's foot.
But you're enjoying it still, Megan? You haven't found your...
I like it, but I kind of got to a point that you guys were talking about where I could never find anything good, and I was getting frustrated, because I always have to go back to town to sell everything and then go back to the quest I was on.
You don't You don't still pick up whites, do you?
Oh, I have been. I guess I won't.
Yeah, don't. Just pick up blues and yellows.
Yeah.
And reds, obviously. Yeah. But don't, have you found any reds yet? It is red, right?
Orange.
It's orange? Okay, close enough for me.
The rare?
Yeah, the legendaries.
Oh, I haven't seen any legendaries.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't either.
They're super rare. I mean, that's what Jeff and I were just talking about. I found my first one yesterday. So.
And you're a Nightmare also?
I'm on Act 2 of Nightmare. I was at the end of Act 1 when I found it. I was
Wait,
in
so you're,
the Butcher's
Lair.
What level
are you, Chris? You're level 20, no, 39?
39, yeah.
Wow, you must be, so then Megan, you're close to probably Act 3, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I'm at the end of Act 2. I'm dreading Belial.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, he was a bitch.
I'm probably gonna break out my Hydra again for Belial.
I watched the guy play all, he's playing on hardcore mode, and he was on a hell mode and hardcore mode.
Are you serious?
He lost his level 60, he got killed by Belial at the very end of the battle, and his level 60 got lost forever.
Oh my god!
He was in hell on level 60,
and he had a picture in picture.
I guess that makes sense.
He had a picture in picture. Well, no, when you play the hardcore mode, though, like if you die, he's gone.
You're done.
Right,
you're
I know. Done. But what I was getting at is you said you finished Nightmare at level 50, and then you start hell. Hell yeah. And are you level 60 by the time you get to Belial? Is that normal?
Depends what you do, really.
Because I was going to say, do you get more experience points for hardcore?
I would assume you do.
I don't know.
I would assume like there's a lot of good benefits for it, but of course, if you die, you're done. Like,
yeah. But that sounds about right. Belial's the end of Act 2, so like I said, I'm level 52 or 53, and I haven't even fought Skeleton King yet on Act 1. So
I get you.
It would make sense. Yeah, you'd probably hit 60 like somewhere in Act 2.
It's good to see the replay value is pretty high on that game. Like once you beat it, you immediately want to jump back
That's exactly what I did.
Man, I couldn't imagine playing hardcore and getting to level 60 on hardcore and then dying.
No, I would never
play the game again. I'd be done. Fuck this game.
And the bad thing is, like on your character select screen, he actually stays in your like in his life. Like he doesn't take up a permanent slot, but he stays in there as like a spirit.
Yeah, they keep it in your stats, too. It's like, it says, the furthest you've gotten on hardcore mode. It's like, oh, great. Thanks. Mine has a big fat zero on it.
Megan, have you bought anything from the auction house? The gold one?
Not with real money.
No, but the gold one you have, though.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah,
so yeah just, it's gotten to the point where you kind of have to. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
I probably would not be able to get through the area I'm in if I didn't buy stuff from the auction house.
I barely remember Diablo 2. Was Diablo 2 this stingy with the loot?
No, because there was no auction house, really. So
it just makes me want to play Torchlight so much more. Because
I know.
I'm
actually really looking forward to Torchlight now.
Torchlight constantly dropped better and better and better equipment over and over and over again. Like it was, you were never in a weapon lull. Like,
yeah,
I mean, I didn't
true.
Play.
Well,
I,
I've had
I
the same the same weapon in Torchlight for a while, but
really,
yeah, a good like 8 levels or so.
Right.
How far did you get in Torchlight?
Level 25, 30, something like that. Yeah. I didn't get terribly far. Yeah.
That's kind of normal for those games once you get the higher levels. But I mean, not as bad as this. This is ridiculous. Where it's like I have gone like 10 levels and haven't found like a decent bow. So I'm like, all right, screw it. I'm going to the auction house. Then I finally find a decent bow, but it's way less than the one I just bought. So I'm like, fuck. It's like the game knew. But yeah.
Oh, well.
I'm still loving it. I still have a lot of fun with it.
It's still fun. I don't know if I can call it game of the year yet, but it's fun.
And Megan, you might as well just tell Travis to go buy his own copy at this point.
Oh, he can't play it. That's the only game I have right now.
That's awesome.
Cool.
Until she gets in a lollipop chainsaw.
There you go.
We're on you right now.
No, never. You brought that up.
Oh, did I start?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then let's talk about Lollipop Chainsaw.
All right. Well, let's not. We've all played that though. Let's not jump into that then yet though.
All right. Well, the only other thing I played this
and see what
the only other thing I played this week was Gravity Rush.
Oh, okay. There you go. How's that,
Travis? Did you play Gravity Rush? Did you get it?
Travis, I did
thanks,
not.
Megan,
no, I'm sorry.
By the way,
I'm sorry.
For,
I had to swap headsets. No, I did not get Gravity Rush yet, but I'm on the fence. Here's the deal. Like we did some Sony training, downtown Atlanta, and they
what
always
that
give
mean?
Us. What's that?
What does that mean?
Sony trains them on.
Every year Sony comes down and they do this big thing for us and they let us, you know, it's like a one and a half hour like classroom type setting thing, and they show us the big initiatives for Sony every year.
Gotcha.
They give us cool stuff in return, and one of the things might be a copy of Gravity Rush. So I'm reserving myself from buying it just to see if I do get a chance to come pick it up.
Okay. Well, I love this game. I do. I love it. It's easily the best game that's on the Vita, in my opinion. It's, you know, based on what we talked about with like the demo and stuff like that. I don't know why I didn't expect it, but the game is open world and I didn't really expect it to be open world. And then, so when I picked it up, I started playing it and I was like, oh, this makes complete sense. I don't know why I didn't think about this, but so it's an open world game, and just like I've said in the past about open world games, I don't really get into them unless there's an interesting way to get around the world. And this one works really, really good. So, you know, you can pretty much fly around the city wherever you want. And as long as you have, you know, as long as your gravity meter doesn't get you all used up,
right?
So, it's really easy to get around the city. It's very steampunk feel, which I love, and you know we knew that already. You know the presentation of the just the visuals and the comic storyline we talked about, that's really good. The combat is starting to get a little bit better, and one of the things that worried me about it was like, you swipe the screen to dodge.
Okay.
Which I thought was weird, but once I got into the combat, because the combat isn't button mash, you know, it's right. One button and you kick, but you can also you can do jump kicks, you can also go into gravity mode and do attacks that way,
okay,
and you can dodge and do like a dodge counter attack, and once I got used to doing that, it flowed well. Like I do like kick, 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 dodge, kick, and it would work really well. And I'd take out enemies really quickly. So, it's not like it's an overly complicated combat system,
right?
But it's still fun. Right. Especially if you use the gravity powers.
Well, one of the issues that I have with the demo that I played, and it's actually the only problem I have with the game, because I think I'm in love with every single thing else that this game does. But I found myself getting disoriented, like, very, very, very easily. Like, I don't know which way's up, which way's down. Cause like when you get to a point where you're shooting up and then you kind of stop yourself and you're floating in midair and you can't really, like, I just found myself just like kind of floating for a second and having to pause and be like, okay, where am I? Okay, turn up. Okay, now I'm going towards the ground. Like, do you get used to that?
Was that a problem for you?
Was there a problem like for you like that's similar to that, like when you first started playing?
I got a sensation of it at one point early on, but it kind of went away very quickly, because all you have to do is kind of just stop where you are and look at Kat, because her cape or scarf or whatever and her hair will always obey the rules of the world's gravity.
Okay.
So if you're like upside down, her hair is still going to be straight up in the air.
Okay.
You know, so it gives you a sense of where you are in the world compared to everything else. And if you're like floating in the air, then, you know, if you're floating in the air, her hair is still going to obey the rules of gravity.
Okay.
So once I started looking at that, it was a lot easier to keep my bearings. So, but yeah, it is very easy to get lost in it. But man, it's just like there was actually a mission where you had to like stealthily go, to and meet someone at this church, and there's like police officers all walking around.
Right.
And you know, at first you're like, okay, so I have to do this with stealth, and okay, well, what if I just went straight up in the air and then they all see you, and you know, you can't run straight at them. So you literally go off the world and you're running on the side of the world to get around to the area that you're going to. Cause it's almost like this big floating island that you're mm-hmm. on. And you basically run around the side of the world and then come up right next to the church.
Okay.
So it's really interesting the way they're doing all of these things. And, you know, I've only put like 2 hours into it, but I love it so far. I mean,
yeah, to hear that it's like got that open world feel, it's actually surprising. I wasn't expecting that either. I was just thinking more level-based chapters.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be like stage-driven, that kind of thing. But no, you are in this like large city, and you know you can upgrade all of her moves, and you can upgrade her life and all that stuff. So like her stats, and there's like this map screen, and you can do the whole pinch to zoom thing, and you can zoom mm-hmm. in and out of what's going on. And it does actually, and you like, if you want to set a waypoint, you touch the screen, and it does something that I thought, I mean, it's a very, very minor thing, but it's those little touches, you know. And if there's two icons close together and you try to touch one of them, instead of just like saying, oh, I think you touched this one, it'll actually take that group of icons and spread them out so you can touch again which one it is. It puts them out on little lines. So it actually makes it easier to select things on the map. So little things like that are just well thought out design decisions, you know. So overall, really like it. I'm probably going to talk about it more next week, because I'm hoping to beat it this week, because I'm just cool. loving the shit out of it. So.
Well, one quick thing too, easily, for like you graphic whores out there. I mean, Uncharted looks great, especially. It's very impressive, even on the handheld. But I think Gravity Rush is easily, because I was watching a guy on Tuesday play it, and I was just sitting there, and I told him, I said, this is probably the best, easily the best looking game on the Vita.
There's no doubt.
And it runs super, super smooth, man.
Yeah, it really does.
It's really nice.
But from a technical perspective, Uncharted is more impressive, but from a pure artistic standpoint, this game cannot be beat.
Gorgeous.
It cannot be beat. And even like the effects on Kat herself, like when you kick in the what do they call it? I completely forgot what they call Kat. She's like gravity. I forget. Anyway, but when you actually kick in your gravity powers, she like gets this red glow of her, and it just like illuminates things. It's really weird. So I mean, it's just really well done. Very, very happy with it. If you have a Vita, you need to pick up this game. If you see, you know, there's some negative reviews out there. I've actually looked at some of them, and most of them are talking about combat. And the thing about this is you have to realize that that's not what this game is about. This game is about the gravity power. And if you use that gravity power during combat, you're going to enjoy it a lot more too. So keep that in mind when you play. It's a really great game. Go buy it.
Cool.
So maybe we should save Lollipop Chainsaw until the end?
Yeah, change that. Yeah, save it till the end.
Okay, cool. Well, Travis, why don't you go next?
All right, well, this will be the only thing beside Lollipop Chainsaw and everything. But at that Sony training, the trainer there, I spent about 15, 20 minutes with him on the side, just talking shop, talking little things. And then we were talking about the Vita games that were announced at E3, and I brought up Sound Shapes. And Sound Shapes looks like a Vita game that I really, really want to get. And he gave me his Vita, and he was like, well, I got the beta right here.
Oh.
So I got to play a little bit of Sound Shapes, which is really, really fantastic. For anyone who is like it's really, really hard to explain with the 5-10 minutes I had with it. If you are a platforming guy, and you like the, you know, retro style graphics, but you also kind of like, you're big on, you know, in-game music and soundtracks and stuff like that, this is absolutely the game for you. And it's such a simple little game, but.
Is that what that is? It's a platformer?
It's a platformer. And, you know, cause you have this like little ball. It's almost kind of like Samus when you're rolled up in like a little ball and you go through these levels and you got to reach an endpoint. And you're able to stick to like certain colors of terrain. I believe it's like the white parts of the terrain you can stick to, and you can't stick to the dark terrain. So you'll have to like platform around to navigate the obstacles that are all around, to, you know, and all those, you know, just dodge those obstacles to get to the end. And all the while you're doing that, you're collecting notes, and every note that you collect improves the background music to each level. And like, you know, you can miss notes, it's okay. You'll just miss on that note in the music and everything. So you're constantly, and it's really, really easy. Like the second I jumped in, I knew exactly what I was doing. It's like, wow, this is like so catered, like to be, if you want to play hardcore, it's definitely going to get harder as the game goes on. But this jumping in, it was just easy, easy. And it's like I said, it's accessible. Like I had no health, there's no lives. You know, there was like a really cool checkpoint system and everything. You can't die. There's just no health or stuff like that. You just like, if you die, you go back to the checkpoint, and you checkpoint like every, you know, 15, 20 seconds. It's really, really forgiving. But it is awesome. Like some of the music that pops in there, and you can choose, you know, mix and match every time you go through these levels, mix and match what notes you want to pick up, and it completely changes the song. So, you know, you playing through a level and me playing through a level, when we're done, we can pick up our Vitas and we have a completely different song playing in the background. Really, really cool stuff. Enjoy the heck out of that. I think I'll get that day one. It's really fun.
Yeah, it looks like it looks worth it.
Yeah.
To me, so.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's it for me, except for the other one we're going to talk about. I don't know if we're ready to talk about that yet. Jeff?
No, I got one other game I played. I downloaded the demo so far of Virtual Fighter 5.
Okay, how's that?
The one that was on like PSN and Xbox Live Arcade. It brought back memories, man. Virtual Fighter is like one of my, it's probably my favorite 3D fighter ever, just because I had a Saturn and stuff and a Dreamcast like when I was younger, so that's like kind of what I went by. I didn't really have the Tekkens to play, but it's really good. It looks really awesome, and one thing I like about the Virtual Fighter franchise is the fights look realistic as they can, like minus some juggle stuff, but it looks like a flowing fight you'd see in like, I don't know, like a kung fu movie or something like that. There's nothing too over the top or crazy, and it's I don't know, it's something about that is kind of cool. It's not flashy at all, and it's very technical. Like, the demo isn't online, or like that, so I can play people online, so I don't know how it would stand up, because I never really played against anyone of my friends in the old games. But, I don't know, for $15, it's pretty good. I think it's $15 for, like, all the characters and stuff. Then if you want to download all the, you can do, like...
the extra stuff.
Costume packs.
Yeah, there's, like, and there's more characters, I think, too.
Is there another? Yeah, there might be like an extra couple characters, but right. It's like and all that stuff you can add on. Like you can basically customize your character. That's like another 15, I think. So yes. I think for $30, yeah, you download the whole thing, and I think it's like pretty much a great deal because that game is really good. I like the fact that Sega put it downloadable because I don't think it would do anything in retail.
No way.
But it looks really good. Like I was, it's yeah. I think Virtua Fighter 5 was the last game I ever rented, and it was on PS3, like way back when that came out, and that was like a long time ago. That was like in its first year, I think, maybe second. So, but yeah, I'm enjoying it. I think I might actually might pick up the PS Plus for it because it's free on PS Plus right now. You can download that, the whole thing. So instead of just buying it on Xbox Live, I might just plunge and get a subscription to PS Plus for a year and grab that because I like it. It's fun. It's even fighting the computer is fun in that game, and I usually don't find that fun in most fighting games at all. But yeah, it's pretty cool. I liked it.
Cool.
Lollipop Chainsaw?
Lollipop Chainsaw. I think it's that time.
All right.
I'm
all played it, right?
Were any of us like really anticipating this game?
No, not at all.
Okay. I was not either. I was not even going to buy it until...
Same here.
Probably last week when you guys started talking about, you know, like how people have been talking about it a lot. And then I started looking up like different things that people are saying and I'm like... this game sounds like it's really fun because I wasn't going to put because I thought it was just like another Sex Cells attempt.
It kind of is.
And it kind of is.
It kind of is, but the game is legitimately fun.
It is, yeah.
It is to a point.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was very, very hyped up for this, mainly because I've always been and still am on this high from Shadows of the Damned.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, another, you know, well, semi Suda 51, even though he kind of like oversaw this project. He wasn't the lead creator. I mean, I was just hype about it because it seemed like another Shadows of the Damned, and something that Suda 51 does so well is have these, you know, very, very fun, cool, albeit very flawed sometimes main characters. But they're still, like, at the end, when you're done with it, like, you're done. Like, Travis Touchdown is a really, really great character. I loved Garcia Hotspur. He's still one of my favorite characters in any video game. I love him to death from Shadows of the Damned. And then I was excited about Julia Starling. I was like, okay, this could be a really, really cool character. She's primed to have some great lines. Yeah, I mean, she's over-sexualized. That's understandable, but this is a Japanese
Suda
type game.
Yeah.
But then her character is just god-awful.
Yeah.
Horrible.
That's the thing. It's like, I take all of this as like, it's all complete jabs at the typical cheerleader. That's the way I've been taking all of it.
Is it a jab or is it a stereo? Is it just playing at the stereotype?
I think it's both.
I think it's both.
I think it's done terribly.
I think it's done really, really bad.
I can get the constant, like her leaning over and everything and showing her butt, you know, from under her skirt and stuff like that. That's kind of, you know, all that stuff. I kind of expected that kind of thing. Like, cause, you know, Bayonetta did that and there was no problem with it. Cause, you know, Bayonetta was super sexualized,
but there's a big difference.
She was never unliked.
Yeah.
Like, you
and
liked
she
Bayonetta.
She wasn't a bimbo. She wasn't the typical blonde cheerleader. Like, she was sexualized, yes, and she has like typical like librarian kind of look, glasses, like long hair, but you never felt like she didn't know what she was doing or that you thought she had a good head on her shoulders and she was indeed like a powerful character. Mm-hmm. Whereas Juliet, you don't I don't get that from her at all. I think she's just a dumb blonde bimbo that fights zombies.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, I don't care who it is, every single character in this entire game could get their throat slit at the end of the game. I couldn't care less except for Nick.
He's hilarious.
He is so everything funny. That she does in conversation with him that makes me roll my eyes at her, in that same, you know, two-way conversation, he says something that totally redeems it.
That's because, where they save it, kind of, where it's like that you can tell they're doing it on purpose because yeah. they make him be like, well, you're an idiot. Or he doesn't say, like, you're an idiot, but...
It seems like he deals with her. It's like he's the popular guy in school. She's the popular girl in school. They just are supposed to be together. And it's like he just kind of like deals with being with her. Yeah, he cares about her, but he's also settling because he feels
well,
that
that's
even,
where he's is he even to in be. School? Or is he like...
Yeah, he goes to school.
Yeah, he goes to the school.
Okay, for some reason I thought he was like 28 or 27.
No, he goes to school like, there, okay. Yeah. Gotcha. But yeah, Nick's great and everything.
Now, mind you, for the people listening who haven't played it, like the game's basically about you're a cheerleader with a chainsaw fighting zombies, and Nick is your boyfriend who you chop his head off early on in the game to save his life.
Because he got bit.
Yeah, because he got bit. So rather than...
He's a disembodied head attached to her waist, basically.
Which is kind of hilarious.
In every line Nick says, I crack up. I laugh. Yeah. I was like, you can suck my disembodied balls.
Yeah.
I love it. Like, I clap every time. Yeah. Like, the writing was done there. And
for
they,
him, it's really
they really, really, like, push, like, oh, James Gunn, that guy who writes Hollywood movies, because, you know, everyone in Hollywood is good James at writing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know? Oh, yeah. And they put his name on the back of the box. Yeah, James Gunn did this. He wrote Super. You've never seen that movie, but, hey, you should know it. You know?
Yeah, but he's in Hollywood, though, so he must be good.
Exactly, right, yeah. There are no two-bit hacks that work in Hollywood nowadays. But I'm like, this guy, a guy who writes movies, who makes money in Hollywood, wrote this crap? And then Nick says something, and I'm like, okay, there it is.
I think you guys are just taking that a little too seriously. I think they're doing it on purpose.
I don't think
it's on purpose, but it goes overboard. It's like,
Go ahead.
I was going to say, my big thing is, I think the writing's pretty good overall, but at the first there's so much swearing in it, I was like, okay, it's kind of funny, but then it got to the point where I was like, I expected it to be like, you bitch, you cunt, like, okay, I don't say cunt, but you slut, like, you whore, or like, you dick, it's every like third word, and it kind of got, like, okay.
Almost too much.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, it got to the point, like, I don't have a problem with swearing, but I guess when it's like, hey, we get it, you're going overboard with it, but... Other than that, they took out even some of those words. It's actually pretty well written for most.
Yeah.
Even like, I don't know how far you guys played. I played up until like the first major boss, the punk rocker dude.
Yeah, I played. I finished that.
Yeah, that's basically how far I got. And I thought some of the stuff he was saying was actually pretty funny and stuff like that. But
yeah, and
thing,
like Nick's like, reactions to what to he him. Was saying too was yeah. really good.
Or even the gothic characters.
After you
funny.
Get past the first boss, like the derogatory. Remarks towards women and everything, because that punk rocker guy, the first boss, is bad. Like it's like
he calls her a slut like every 2 seconds.
Every 2 seconds, it's a lot.
Like,
but that like you start going more like you start leaving the school and going more around the neighborhood and more around like the town, and there's more other type of stereotypical small town. Like you'll go to a farm where in a lot of the zombies and thing, they're just like saying, you know, hickish type comments and everything. So it's less of the swearing toward them and more towards a stereotype of where she's at in the town.
But even some of the people you save, like, you know, when you get, when you get the SOSs and you gotta save, like, the civilians, like, some of them will say, like, oh, thank you, I'm gonna masturbate to you later.
Yeah.
Or like, oh man, look at the size of your boobs. Like, and that's the kind of stuff that makes it, like, I don't understand how...
Yeah, but here's the thing. That's the kind of thing that all guys in high school think.
I know, but this is my problem with the game. The way they market it, like, a lot of people... Like, a lot of games that try to over-sexualize women and stuff like that get a very bad rep. And this game has not got any of that.
Nope.
And it's the same exact shit. That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's because of who it's you know, who's looked over, like, Suda51 and, like, Grasshopper Games and all those guys, which I can understand. Like, I can laugh at it. It's funny. But why does something like X-Blade or something like that get, like, a cheek turn being like, oh, you know, it's all that's going for over-sexualization, whereas this game is exactly doing that.
I think it's because
X-Blade's
that...
had shitty gameplay, and this
that's the thing. We haven't even gotten to the gameplay yet, but...
I think the issue is that, you know, advertising is really important before a game comes out. And this game was so, had so much charm. Like, you guys, I don't know if you guys have really paid attention to how much they've been advertising this stuff. Like, they're giving out candy canes, and they're giving out lollipops, and they're giving out, you know, cheerleading horns and pom-poms to everybody. Like, they're really, really, really pushing. Like, I've never seen a booth babe get so much spotlight and so much central fame than Jessica Negri. Did who's the lollipop chainsaw live actress?
She's like the official girl. Yeah,
yeah, she's the official girl for Grasshopper Manufacturer, and she, like, they are just shoving Lollipop Chainsaw down people's throats, but they're doing it with charm and with a little, I mean, dare say, a little bit of class, and because they're getting people interested in the game just by putting all their stuff out there. So it's getting people generally excited.
I don't see the class, though, because they're basically advertising it with a girl with blonde hair with big boobs.
Well, then,
in the Juliet costume. And
I'm not talking about her specifically. I'm not talking about, like, for instance, GameStop got this huge, huge box. I'm talking massive loot chest with Lollipop Chainsaw stuff all over it. And when you open it up, it is a treasure chest of Lollipop Chainsaw loot. T-shirts, yeah. Lollipop, all this stuff. And it's that's the kind of class I'm talking about. Because you don't see companies do that hardly ever with their games. So they're generally making people excited about their games. So people are so excited, they get into the game, and they'll overseas. Okay, so even though I'm disappointed at some of these bad comments and the constant cursing and stuff like that, I'm still enjoying myself with the game. I'm not saying I'm done. I'm not going to play this crap anymore. See, I'm still enjoying it. But the other thing that really keeps me going, that's a part of that, is the combat. Like,
yeah,
the combat's like, okay,
it's clunky at first.
I think it's
clunky.
It's clunky at first.
I think it's above average, but I don't think it's for a character action game. I think it's on the lower end of the spectrum.
I mean, I haven't unlocked all the moves yet, so I can't really comment on that. But I would like to be able to change the button layout, that's for sure.
The button layout's kind
of
weird.
But I once got a couple of new moves, things started opening up. I mean, I started getting the, you know, like the sparkle bonuses that you get if you kill more than three zombies at once.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting those, like, left and right, you know, after I unlocked some of the
moves.
That
stops after a while. It's harder to corral those guys when you start getting into bigger, more open areas.
Well, it's not even corralling them. It's I have the move where she
flips.
She swipes twice at the bottom and then does that somersault flip like twice.
Yeah,
you do that, and I mean, if you're anywhere near like three enemies, you pretty much take them all out.
Right.
You know, I was getting them all over the place.
Well, my problem isn't like that. It's just the fact that I think every character action game now should have the ability to cancel out of attacks. Like, all the good ones have that in common. Like Ninja Gaiden, Devil May Cry, even God of War. You can cancel. If you're doing a combo and you see you're about to get hit, you can cancel out of that animation. You can't do that in this. And that just drives me insane. Especially if it's from a character you can't see on screen or anything like that.
The thing is, though, like, it's a pain in the butt you can't do that, where other games that are clearly better in gameplay do that. I think the enemies attack so slow that it hasn't been a big issue. Like, I haven't been frustrated because I got hit when I was in the middle of a combo.
Yeah, I haven't had that happen
to me all the time.
Yeah, I have.
Are you guys doing even combos then? Or
yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
Because
yeah,
you're fighting up to like 10 dudes. I don't understand how that's not possible, especially the guys that shoot at you.
Oh, I dodge a lot.
Like,
you can't
cancel into a dodge though. So if you're in a combo anywhere. And
well, yeah, you have to finish the animation, but
yeah, my thing is, this should not be an issue anymore, because every good character action game, you can do that, and I don't see why they wouldn't do that.
Right.
It's still fun for me. Like, I'm still having fun with it, with the combat, but every time that happens, I'm like, ugh, why do they do that? Why do
I don't disagree with you, but it hasn't really been an issue for me so far.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I agree that you should be able to do that, but I haven't. It hasn't been to the point where I've noticed it so much that it's flawed the combat for me in that way. I mean, I mainly build most of my attacks around dodging, because, you know, you get surrounded pretty quickly and you got to get out of the way, especially when with like saving students in the school. I mean, I would just dodge over guys to get to the student and just like leave guys behind me. So I would get surrounded really quick. And it's, you know, I pretty much always started any combo with a dodge, and I would only do like two or three hits. Because anything more than that, and you know, you're gonna get stuck.
Exactly.
Right.
So yeah,
And I'm enjoying the combat for the most part. I do like it. The big thing that these, you know, suited games do a lot, they like to change the pace a lot. So like, you know, you'll be doing your normal combat, you know, hacking and slashing, and then boom, they're gonna throw in a mini game or something like that. And before I talk about how much I loathe the mini games, I already felt that they did they do, especially in the later chapters, a much better job at breaking the pace with some of the other powers you get, because later on in the game, you start getting birthday presents from the rest of your family that actually change your chainsaw into something else.
Yeah, so you like, get the first one from the sensei.
Yeah, you'll be able to do, you'll be able to do the, what is it called? The chainsaw rush or something like that. And then you'll be able to turn your chainsaw into a gun to shoot out and everything. And you can use combinations. You can still do your sparkle bonuses. You can still all, do all this cool stuff with these different changes. And to me, that changes the pace from combat then to, you know, changing your chainsaw into something else. And that completely fixes it for me. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm not hacking and slashing. I can shoot. I can do this, just charge rush and attack guys this way. That's good. But then they throw in these mini games. And I gotta tell you, I think it's some of the worst gaming I have ever experienced in my entire life.
Oh, it's just QuickTime events. That's all it is.
No.
He's talking about like the basketball thing.
The basketball?
Oh, like that thing.
I thought that was awesome.
Okay, yeah.
I actually like the basketball.
Yeah, the first one's awesome, all right. Yeah, that's how they butter you up. It's like Assassin's Creed Revelations when they butter you up with that really first, really easy tower defense game. And then the next tower defense game, they completely rape you. You tell me how much you like that second zombie basketball game. Or how about this? Zombie baseball later on in Chapter 3. You let me know how much you like these mini games afterwards. You're not going to like it. They're terribly done.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is, I went into this game not thinking it was going to be amazing. I came out of it thinking, I'd say more pleasantly surprised more than anything. I am enjoying the game. It definitely has its faults though, for sure. Like I'm surprised it's a $60 game, to be honest with you. Like, to me, it's like,
yeah, it seems like it should have been in the 40 range.
Yeah, to me, it's like it's like a way better quality version of it, something that's like Earth Defense Force, where it's like, but better. So it's like, I mean, Earth Defense Force, I mean, it was, a lot of people like it's fun, but it's like, I mean, come on, it's like, it is low budget, kind of.
Yeah.
And this, I don't get a super high, like, I mean, it's got pretty decent voice acting. Graphics are okay. They're not nothing that's going to blow your mind or anything like that. I actually really like the presentation, actually, a lot.
I did too. Presentation's really nice. The intro was really good.
Yeah, I really loved the intro, actually. That's why, like, I loved it. I was like, this is actually pretty cool, the way they did this. But, first of all, I heard the game's only like 4 or 5 hours, and then
it's longer than that.
Then it because I don't know, everyone I know who beat it says
I'm 4 or 5 hours in, and I'm on the second to last chapter. I'm about to finish the second to last chapter.
Well, maybe they did it really short because I know about 3 people that beat it, and all of them did it under 5 hours the first time. But the game seems to be more of like one of those like kind of like a score chase type thing where you kind of go in and like an arcade thing. You go in.
Yeah, there's leaderboards and everything.
Stuff. Yep. Yeah, exactly. So it's not necessarily about like the storyline, like all that stuff. Like they don't explain. I don't even know in the game though, why there's zombies anywhere. It's like, hey, welcome to come into my bedroom, blah blah blah. But no funny stuff. All the crap. And all of a sudden you're going to school. And all of a sudden zombies. And it's like that's like a normal thing.
But, yeah. No, they explain the zombies. Explains.
Yeah, it's explained.
The sensei explains them. Yeah, the sensei explains them in the first.
Oh
well,
yeah,
stage.
Because the thing, the portal was open.
Right, right,
stuff.
Right.
But yeah. But I just the fact that everyone doesn't seem to be like, well, I guess she doesn't. She's not surprised, because she's probably seen it before, because that's what she does. She's a zombie hunter, I guess. But I guess that kind of was like, I guess it kind of explains a little bit. But I just find like the reaction to everyone else is like kind of like normal. Like even Nick at one point doesn't be like, oh my god, where the fuck are these zombies coming from? What the fuck's going on? It was just like, yeah, there's zombies. I got bit. I mean, I gotta change. Oh, okay.
This is so much fun. I forgot we're killing all of our friends.
Yeah. he said some funny shit.
Easily the best thing in this game, though. Is the soundtrack?
The soundtrack is great.
The
I
music
love
in this game,
yeah,
mode,
it's good.
Sparkle
I like it.
Mode when it starts singing that Hey Mickey song. Yeah, it's so good.
It's really good, but just the music in the background, it's just all good. A lot of mixture of like Jimmy Urine from Mindless Self Indulgence and Akira, what's his face from Silent Hill? I can't remember his last name. Yeah. But it's a good mix of like all their music, and it's a killer. Killer
really
soundtrack. And they throw in some really great licensed tracks later on in the game too. It's something that should not be spoiled. You guys will love
it. Oh yeah, when you're in the shop, plays Lollipop.
Oh yeah, you had to know that song was in there, right?
Yeah, like it's still good to see like and to hear when I first went in there. I'm like, that's awesome.
I do wish they didn't put it in the shop menu though, because like I am so sick and tired of hearing that song now. Yeah. I spent so much time in the shop that
because you're looking through everything trying to decide what to get. And
then the cool thing is you can actually unlock, you know, as you go through the levels, you can unlock these soundtracks from different stages, and you can mix and match like 5 songs to constantly be playing in the background while you're fighting. You pick up your favorite songs from the bunch, and you can have your own soundtrack playing while you play through the game. It's really fun.
Cool. I think we all pretty much like it at this point.
I like
right?
it.
We're
yeah.
all enjoying it. Yeah.
yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I think it's a flawed game, but I think it actually is a lot of fun. And I honestly don't think it's going to do too well at that price, especially because, I mean, when you look at the box cover, that box art.
Well, there's a lot of places that were offering it for $45 here.
Mm-hmm.
A
well,
lot
cool.
of places. Toys R Us, but Amazon.
It's still got that box art, though, that a lot of people are going to be like, I feel like a perv buying this.
Well, and they should, because if you think about it, that game...
You're playing an 18-year-old fucking girl.
Yeah, okay, when you're playing that game, yesterday, you would go to jail.
Yeah.
Yesterday, you'd be in jail.
Yesterday?
That is true.
I don't get it.
It's her 18th birthday. She just turned 18.
Oh, really? Oh, that's right. You're actually playing it on her birthday. That's right. It is her birthday. Yeah. So that's just... Yeah, exactly. And,
yeah. Just a little slow this morning, this evening.
Well, what else is new?
Yeah.
But,
cool.
I'm liking it. It felt weird to play something on my console after a while, but hey.
No, click.
It felt good to get that just off the gamepad and, my TV.
Get the old sticks in the hand.
Work out the
but
thumbs.
I'm sure we'll all beat it by next week, so it'll be good to see what
that's possible.
Thoughts on it are. Cool.
Cool. Hey, let's do news.
Do we have any news?
You have
I have
one
thing in news, but I figure I'll wait until we actually do our question of the week and bring it up.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Then let's take a break.
All right, let's do it.
We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about dual-screen console gaming. Then we'll do some releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us, and we'll be right back.
It's time to wake up. Interactive Distractions would like to publicly thank our many sponsors. Kind and caring souls such as... nobody. Really, it is fine. We will be okay on our own. Thanks anyway. If you need us, we will be turning tricks on the corner to pay our hosting fees. And now back to the show.
And welcome back.
You're welcome back.
So after all the talk about Diablo and Lollipop Chainsaw and other games that we talked about, Gravity Rush and stuff, now let's talk about the future.
The future.
We're going to talk about dual screen console gaming. So the Wii U has their controller. PS3 has the Vita that they can use as a controller, which they have said is going to happen with Little Big Planet 2 later this year.
Mm-hmm.
And now Microsoft has announced Smart Glass, which may or may not have the full functionality that these other two devices have for Sony and Nintendo. But we know that there's some features there that they can use. So we asked you guys what you thought about this, and we got some response. So, Travis, I'm going to let you take it away.
First one comes from Sean and Recupido.
Sean?
I honestly don't see any practical use for my Vita or whatever you call it, that Wii U thing, for a while playing console games on the TV. It would be nice, though, if I felt an urge to crap coming on that I could take over online games on my Vita, because you can't really pause an online game, but that is a very rare use case, though.
Okay.
That's it.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay, so he wants to be able to do...
Pause online games?
He wants to be able to change to take a game on his PS3, move it to his Vita while he takes a poop. That's what it sounds like.
That's how they've been advertising it, but only like one game does that so far.
Well, that's how they've been talking about... they have the cross-play thing with two different games, but I don't think that's what he's talking about. He's talking about... I'm playing this game on the Vita. He wants to do like what the Wii U is saying it can do, where you can actually play the game on the tablet. That way you don't take up the TV, but you're still running it off the console. So I think that's what he's talking about.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. And I don't know if the PS3 and the Vita are able to do that yet.
No. Because you'd have to, it'd basically be like playing remote play at that point.
Yeah.
I don't think it's programmed. You'd pretty much have to have the game on both things, I guess.
Yeah, it's hard to say, really. But you know, if they had the ability to, if the wireless was good enough, they could probably do it that way. But I'm not sure it is, and I'm not sure if Bluetooth I'm not sure if the Bluetooth protocol could handle that kind of transfer. I'm not sure what the Wii is using for that, as far as like wirelessly transferring the screen to the controller. But whatever it is, they're saying it's pretty much instant from the controller to the TV, so it's got to be pretty fast.
So probably some proprietary stuff.
Maybe. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'll have to look it up. Yeah. Cool. Let's do the next one.
All right. B-Wrong says, hey, hey, hey. What's up, guys? Back for another response for your question of the week. I'm not really a big fan of dual screens, but there are a lot of things they could really do with it. For example, that's already done, and I hope other games would adapt, is how Monster Hunter on the 3DS used the bottom screen. They had it as the option, inventory and shortcuts, and there's even the ability to edit the icons available. Basically, anything that would stop you from pausing the game just to check a map or drink a potion. Keep up the work, guys. Be wrong.
Yeah, I agree 100% with that
shit. Yeah, that's the stuff they need.
That's the thing that would get me to use SF the most. It's not the stuff that's like, let me, you know, not, as much as it's cool to play a game on the crapper, I could always just pause the game and, you know, well, he said online. That would be a bitch. So yeah, online, you can't obviously pause. But yeah, that's the kind of stuff I think, the inventory and management type stuff on the other screen, I think would be ideal.
Well, and that, awesome. And of all the things like the Wii U is showing us so far from E3, the games that are doing that are the things that interest me, like Zombie U. Like, Zombie U is legitimately interesting to me because of the fact that, you know, that bottom screen, you know, you use it as a screen you can look at and play. You can use it to aim a weapon if you wanted to, but it's also like your backpack. So, like, when you have to look in your backpack, you actually just, you see it on your screen, you see your guy kneeling down to open up his backpack, and basically what you're doing is you're looking down at your thing, and you're picking the items that you want to use. So, like, if you see a gun in there, you just tap on your gun, and you'll pull a gun out of the backpack. So, that kind of stuff there is pretty cool. I like that a lot. And, I mean, in a sense, I mean, this is what's kind of really, really odd, because, you know, they've made such a big deal about all this, you know, dual screen play, but we've been seeing these things on the DS for 6 or 7 years.
Forever. Right. Yeah.
And it's like, well, now these two screens aren't connected, so that's the big deal, but it's like, we've seen this before. Like, it's
cool.
It's
nothing really new.
I like
that
what
stuff,
we're doing,
yeah.
But it's none of this is really, really, really brand new. Like, that's why Smart Glass is kind of like a little more interesting to me. Because I like the idea of having that optional companion next to me. You know, I like being able to look down and seeing, like, my map on the screen without having to pause my game. Like, if I can play Grand Theft Auto 5 or any type of open world game like that and never have to pause the game to look at my map, I can just look down on my tablet or something like that and then see where I'm at in the game. That's the kind of stuff that I like. Stop me from stopping my game in the middle to do something else.
Yeah.
I like that.
I guess on the other side is really how much time does that, like, you know, you're still, because technically you're still not going to be controlling while looking down at the same time, but yeah, I see where you're going. It's really not that big of a deal, but it's like, that's what's more, for some reason that's more interesting to me as well. I don't really know why.
Well, the thing is, some people, and we still complain about this with video games sometimes, some people can't get a bad lag or load time from your main game to your map screen.
Yeah, it's
you
true.
Know, that stuff's aggravating, you know? And what stops me from having to deal with that and having a conversation of, yeah, the loading screen to get to the menu was really, really bad, like that's cool. Yeah, you know, Dragon's Dogma would be very, very interesting to me if it had a digital companion that I can, like, pick through my stuff instead of keep on going through the menus. Like, you have to go through the menus to use an herb to heal yourself.
Oh, really? Yeah.
You have to.
That's dumb.
Unless there's something in the instruction booklet that I didn't read that I'm not, using correctly, you have to go into your menus to use an herb.
Hmm.
And stuff like that. Either make your game better so I don't have to do that, or...
I was going to say, that's not more... That's more so of, like, bad fucking design.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
Than having
to... But I would love, like, an RPG feature to be able to do that. I think that would be cool. Like, I think RPGs could really benefit from something like Smart Glass or something.
See, one of the things that I was thinking of, and he mentioned, like, the maps. And the maps have been done right before, right? It's nothing new. Mm-hmm. But what's different about this situation is that you are now looking at more capable screens for these companions that you might have. And one of the things that I think would be really cool is if you have the map on that screen, let me zoom in and out and let me zoom, like, seriously straight into the room. And if I want to make notes on the map, let me make notes on the actual background of the room that's on the map. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Symphony of the Night, zoom all the way in so you can see the background of the area. And then you can make notes on the actual map that way.
Yeah.
And then when you zoom back out, it highlights the area where you made the note. And if you want to see that note, you just like tap on it and it zooms in and it shows you what your note was and that kind of thing. And, you know, with these better devices, you have the ability to do that kind of thing. And, you know, I think it'd be cool to do something like to enhance some of the features that they already do and to make them more usable and have more options of what you could do when you use them.
Word.
Cool. Let's do the third email.
All right. Zeke comes in and says, I've actually been thinking about this for some time, and first off, I have to state that I'm not sure that this will be successful at all for Microsoft, talking about Smart Glass. Thing is that games will either have to be built just for this or as an optional accessory. This gives developers a choice of either severely reducing the potential customer base or hampering with the experience by not going all out. That said, I hope iOS Android Vita integration will be standard for the next generation. Best would be if there's a standard protocol developed that can be used by all platforms, including the PC. On to ideas. First up, the easy stuff. Number one, in-game remote control. Think Rainbow Six or Metal Gear Solid, where you can actually see the robot's remote camera in real time. This would also work great for a couch co-op where the other player can act as a control room tech, hacking cameras, unlocking doors, marking bad guys, etc.
That's cool.
That's actually a really great idea for a video game, actually. That's really cool. Number two, asynchronous management. Building loadouts in Call of Duty, inventory management in Diablo, or I would have loved this, making potions and enchanting stuff in Skyrim. Researching side quests and marking up your map could be another use. Number three, puzzle solving. Here we can include the playmaking in sports games, but I can also see more like in-depth puzzle solving in Uncharted, or just boring, have game map or inventory or Drake's notebook accessible. Another one would be to use it as a motion sensor for an alien game, Hudson style. And if we take a step further, I'd like to see a horror game where the tablet or phone is required. Imagine you're in a dark room and the only way you can see the ghost is if you hold your device up to the screen. You later get lost and have to use the phone as a compass to find your way into the game. You would also, of course, get to answer a call from beyond.
Beyond?
He says, yeah, this got cheesy. Sounds like a supernatural game. Scrap it. there's potential here, but the only thing I really see taking off is the asynchronous stuff. That and maybe the remote control things where a second device isn't mandatory, but enhances the game if you have it. But to be honest, I think we are just in for another gimmick ride. Connect and Move says hi, by the way. Laters, Zeke.
Thanks, Zeke.
Well, here's the thing about what's going to get used. Depending on what Smart Glass can do, I think that if someone makes an experience for the Wii U and builds in the support for the controller with the screen, I don't see any reason why they wouldn't port that over to the cross controller for PS3 and to the Smart Glass for 360.
That's the thing. He pointed out the Smart Glass things that would have to be programmed in. The same for all of them.
Yeah.
The same thing would have to be programmed in, whether it was going to be the Vita thing or the Wii U. The Wii thing is obviously a given because that's the Wii U. It's going to be like, if you're making a game for the Wii U, they're probably going to have it. But yeah, like you said, if it's going to be a multi-platform thing, they may as well. On the other hand, he said it's going to be like an optional thing to make, enhance it. That's kind of what Kinect does with a lot of the hardcore games now. It's not, you don't need it. It's like, you can play Mass Effect with Kinect, you can play Skyrim with Kinect, but you don't need to. And I think that's kind of the way it's going to be, way it's going to go. It's like, they'll program in like menu-based stuff and things that you can do it for. But yeah, anything that's like made strictly for it will be, especially on Microsoft, will be kind of, and Sony, Microsoft and Sony, it will be kind of weird because you'd have to basically rely on somebody having a tablet or a smartphone, which most people have, or having a Vita. So I think it's more or less the gimmicky kind of slightly enhances the experience on those two, whereas the Wii U is going to be more like, yeah, it's going to be a game based on this because we know anyone who has a Wii U has one of these screens
no matter what.
So I don't know. I like the idea of loadouts, though, because that's one pet peeve of mine is when you're playing like Call of Duty or Battlefield, like, I want to change my loadout, you got to go through a bunch of menus. Having that on like your tablet is cool. Like, here's my loadout one. Boop. done. Load it 2, right. Done. Load it 3, right. Done. That'd be cool.
Even to the point of where you're like, you know, I think of when I think of loadouts, I actually think of the same kind of thing, Skyrim. But in something like, yeah, in Skyrim or even PSO2, where mm-hmm. PSO2 had different palettes that you could pull up, right? And it'd be nice to have those palettes editable and available on the screen, and you could just like select which one you want.
Even if that was that's all it was, it'd be kind
of
cool.
Yeah, it's just a quick access for things like that. I think that's what a lot of this stuff is going to end up being is convenience. But outside of that, I also really like the idea of like, and they didn't show any of this at E3 that I saw, but like the whole Super Scope idea, where they had the Wii U controller mounted on a gun, like a gun, and like you could see the screen, and when you pulled up the gun, the screen on the Wii U controller worked as the scope. And you can actually see it basically into the screen. And I thought that was really cool, if they do stuff like that. And just, I mean, there's a lot of potential here. It's just a matter of figuring out what you want to do and not making it cheesy. And, you know, I think there's a few things on, like, DS that uses both screens really well, but they're few and far between.
Yeah, of course. Same with the Wii. The Wii is the same thing. It's like there's a lot of things in the Wii that use Wii controls, but it's crap. But a lot of them, there's a few and far between ones that actually use the Wii remote and nunchuck to a degree where it's like I actually feel like I'm getting a better gameplay experience rather than they just tack this shit on. Same with the Move and with Kinect. I mean, Dance Central, the only thing I can think of like that, yeah, of course it's going to be better playing with like Kinect with nothing, but, or with the Move doing something like, what's the fucking, the pack-in for that, or Sorcery.
Sports like, that Champions, yeah, Sorcery.
Yeah, like either one of those two would not be fun with a regular controller. They just wouldn't be. But then again, how many games come out on Move and Kinect that is like, oh,
right?
You could, yeah. Why bother?
Yeah, I think we're gonna see a lot of that same stuff here. I will say this.
I don't know. Like, I think it'll be a lot of just little shit, like we talked about, like menu stuff, or nothing that big at all. I think it'll be either like it'll be like the two spectrums. It won't be. I don't think there's gonna be a lot of shit in between for that kind of stuff because you really don't need it for.
I think the only one that's going to be – the only people that are going to be making any consistent, meaningful garbage software for this type of technology is Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because it's their technology.
Exactly.
And even then, it's like basically what they've showed off so far, to me, none of it was very impressive. You know, nothing's been, jaw-dropping. Actually, the most interesting thing that I saw with the Wii U controller was Rayman Legends.
Yep.
And, you know, that doesn't necessarily have to have it. And we talked about that already.
No.
And I thought that was really cool the way that you were able to control that one character.
That one game they showed last year at E3, I don't think they showed it this year, but the one that sounded the coolest was there's some game where it was like four people would play on the actual console.
Oh, it was the maze game, yeah.
Yeah, where someone would be invisible on the small screen and the other guys would have to try to find them, but like he can see where everyone else is, I can't remember how the actual game mechanics went.
Oh, that actually turned into one of the Nintendo Land games, I think.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, okay, I think they have a Luigi's Mansion type mini game in the Nintendo Land, and I think that's what that is.
Okay, because that actually sounded pretty cool. It's like if one person could see like invisible everyone else, but they can see everyone on that pad, and they got to try to catch him, and they can only see by certain things on like the big screen. I think that's actually pretty. That's a cool idea. I don't know if you can build an entire like a $60 game around it or something like that, but as a mini game or like a tech demo, it sounds pretty cool.
Right. Right.
Something to get have fun with like people over or whatever, but.
I will say this, I I don't know if anybody's going to use it. But there is one distinct advantage that I see over, for the PS3 and the 360 over the Wii U in this area. And that's that, the items that you would be using for this type of technology, this type of gameplay have storage on them. So, they could actually have like almost like a small install of necessary files on the actual controller, quote unquote, that you'd be using, and it would make access faster. It would, they wouldn't have to worry about pushing as much data because you can just, basically do it the same way that they do online gaming right now. You know, they push data, and you know, the whatever's installed on your machine knows what to do with that data to display it on the screen. Yeah. So, you know, there's a distinct advantage there, but I don't know if anybody's going to use it.
Right. Or it could be like what Microsoft showed, what, 4 years ago, 5 years ago now, with the Windows Live phones, where they show like the whole Forza thing and going like customizing your car on your phone and then bringing it to the game and putting it into your game.
Oh, I almost definitely think they'll do that.
Yeah, and Sony could do the same thing with like the Vita. Like they could do like the exact same thing now with
like Gran Turismo and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. They can actually finally could come true 5 years later. 4 years later. And I mean, to be honest, like this is obviously software based. So if it actually does like take off, Sony could probably expand it to not just being on the Vita and do it like smartphones and tablets as well, right?
And oh, absolutely, absolutely. And the thing is that. Especially when you consider what did they rename PlayStation Suite to? I can't remember.
Oh God, like, I don't know.
I thought they called it
PlayStation Mobile or something like that.
I thought they called it Game PlayStation Suite.
No,
yeah, I don't know.
I think they changed it at E3, but it was such a small, like, 5 second presentation about it that they didn't.
That's more time than the Vita.
But, I know, right?
Not really, but yeah.
But I mean, especially with like how they're kind of in bed with Google with the whole thing with Android and PlayStation Suite, I could easily see a smart glass type integration with Android, at least for you know.
They probably wouldn't do that though, because that'd be limiting.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, it is limiting, but at the same time, it's still expanding your market. You know,
from where they were,
because there's more Android devices out there than there are Vitas.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I'm kidding, guys.
I was gonna say. Wow. Please tell me you're not actually asking me that question.
No.
But I mean, it would still be opening that door to other players that they didn't have that option before.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of where I was going with that. But I think if they did do something like that, you almost have to include everybody because Microsoft.
You would have to. Yeah, exactly. You know? That's what I'm saying. You wouldn't want to upgrade. You wouldn't go from limiting to not so much limiting, but still be under what the competition's doing.
Yeah.
And I don't think they'd do that if they had the option to anyway.
I would believe that they would even use, they would even allow it on, you know, if they did that, they would have to put it on Windows phones too. You know,
I would.
Because I mean, think about it. Microsoft's doing it for Android phones. There are Sony Android phones.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So they're opening that door.
Yeah.
So and you know what? I'm completely fine with that because I've always said that I would love to see this whole, you know, and this could be a completely different topic again that we talked about. This whole single console thing where the actual single console was made with, you know, Sony doing the hardware, Microsoft doing the software, you know, it's that kind of thing. And, you know, that's, you know, it almost seems like this could be, if Sony did do that, could almost be that first step to do that.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of whether or not it would happen. And right now I'm not confident.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do. So, you know, I guess we'll find out. I want to see more interesting experiences on the Wii U right now. Before I jump on that bandwagon. So,
yeah. I still look at it right now as more of was it Zeke who said, more of like a fad type thing. And yeah, if it catches on, it catches on, but it still will never take the place of actual, you know, controller,
nope.
TV, input versus output gaming.
Yeah, I agree.
All that stuff to me screams like good time with a party, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah, and that's what the Wii was like too. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Not against it, just don't, you know, base everything on it, that's all.
We don't have any proof yet.
Exactly. We haven't seen anything. We haven't really seen anything, really. Yeah. We've seen a bunch of tech demos and, like, theory stuff, like, hey, you can kind of do this stuff, but nothing's really, you know,
you know what game, what would really lend itself well to this type of thing would be a sequel to Okami. That would be nice.
Oh, to draw on the tablet?
Yeah, to draw on the tablet to actually do...
But Okami moves pretty quick, though. I don't see how that would really work.
Well,
in terms of, like, the pace of it, it's pretty fast, and battles and stuff would be kind of weird.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, but, you know, you still have to... you know, even on the PS2 and the Wii one, you still have to stop and make those motions. So it would be similar. You would just do them on the tablet screen. You know?
Yeah.
I can see it working.
I don't know. Then you have to drop your controller, pick up the tablet. I don't know.
Well, yeah, it depends on what you're using, right? If you're using,
or you can do co-op stuff with it. Someone's like, all right, I can control the character. You're gonna control the fucking attacks, and you give it to that's the kind of stuff that intrigues. Like, if they could do like a co-op type shit where someone's using the tablet, someone else is using the controller and the screen, you're kind of interacting between the two of you.
Yeah, right.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
So
you don't have to pick that shit up.
Cool.
Nah.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see.
We'll find out.
I'm not an overly creative person, so you know,
yeah,
the whole zooming in on the map was the best thing I could come up with.
Yeah, it's better than nothing, man.
You know, I am interested to see what they do, and I hope it's not abused. I hope it's used, but I hope it's not abused.
Oh, it'll be abused.
Yeah, I know.
Especially on the Wii U, because it's going to be needed. That's why.
Yeah.
It's going to be like Kinect shit. You have to put something to do with it on there.
That's right. Cool. All right, should we do new releases then?
Sure.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, so let's see here. PS3, 360, Wii, and Vita are all getting Lego Batman 2 DC Super Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
All of those but Vita are also getting Brave, based on the movie from Pixar. 360 is also getting Steel Battalion Heavy Armor, Magic the Gathering, okay. Duels of the Planeswalkers 2013. And Clan of Champions. And then, let's see here. And 3DS is getting Slither Link from the eShop. And that is your new release list.
I'm going to have to go with to Batman's.
I'm with you, man.
Yeah, why not?
Not much else on that list
sure.
that you can go with. Unless you're into Magic. You can say Magic 2013.
Actually, I bought the other two. They're a lot of fun.
Yeah. Good game.
But if you like that stuff, yeah.
Cool. Let's move on. Any other emails?
No, we're all good.
Yep. Any questions? All right, take it away, Jeff.
Yeah, we got those questions. Sorry, guys, if I happened to skip through some that were missed a while ago, but I'm going to start right about here. Navishin, he says, which video game controller do you think was the worst ever or took the longest to get used to?
Nintendo 64.
Ever. I actually didn't mind that controller that much.
Oh, hated it.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Travis. I hated the Nintendo 64 controller.
Dreamcast was kind of rough too for a bit. The first couple of weeks was like, I don't know if I like this. And then it got better. But
I said the GameCube was the longest one for me to get used to, but I actually thought it was pretty comfortable.
That's an awesome controller, man. GameCube.
Once I got used to it, but yeah. I didn't like the big, like the buttons are all different sizes and shit. I was like, what the hell? But yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, I just can't do the N64.
I'm not with you guys on this one. I mean, that original Xbox controller was bad.
It was pretty big. Yeah, if you had small hands, that'd be pretty bad.
Yeah, I did not like that controller at all. Even the original American Saturn controller, you know, before they actually brought out
that wasn't that bad.
No, it wasn't that bad, but, it was significantly worse than the Japanese one that they later released, so...
Yeah.
Have you ever tried to go back and hold a PS1 controller? Like pre-DualShock PS1 controller?
Oh, God.
It's kind of rough. Weird.
It's probably comfortable. It's probably just weird not having the two sticks
right.
there, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Actually, I'd say that one took me a while just because there's so many buttons on the damn thing. Like the dual, like... Did the original PlayStation 1 have the R1, R2, L1, L2?
Yes.
Yeah.
Was that...
Yeah, it did.
Okay, yeah, then yeah, I remember that one. Some game used like everything. I was like, this is a lot of buttons. But I mean, everyone
so
got used to it, obviously.
Buttons!
I mean...
But really, it's the same amount of buttons as the Saturn, so...
Yeah, well, technically... Yeah, I guess it would be, technically, yeah. But no, I'm not used to my fingers at the top. At the time, anyway. Yeah. Plank Fan says, what's the most accidental, inappropriate thing you've ever done?
We did that already.
Did we do that one already?
Yeah, I think so.
Shit. Did we do the, yeah, we did that one. We did that one. Did that. Oh, here we go. We didn't do this one because Travis wasn't here. But we might as well do it because Travis is here. Jeff Better Tomorrow says, in his questions to Travis or anyone, lost rapid fire questions. You ready?
Okay.
Okay.
This is just for Travis. We were gonna do this, Chris, but we were like, neither of us have seen Watch Lost, so we wouldn't know.
Okay.
Oh, right.
You gotta do it really quick. No okay. thinking. It's like, okay, best character.
Hurley.
Worst character.
Oh, fuck, I don't know. I can't remember his name, but there was two of them. There's a brother and sister. No, not the brother and sister, but they got buried alive. They're terrible. Yeah.
Okay. Best season.
God damn, I like that last season, man. The last season's awesome.
Last season. Worst season.
Season 3.
Kate or Juliet?
Kate.
All right.
Pretty
Jack
good,
Bauer
man.
Says, what would you do with a portal gun? And you don't get the long fall boots.
What would you not do with a portal gun is a better question.
Yeah, pretty much. I just wouldn't go anything high, obviously. We don't have the fall boots, but...
Oh, yeah, true enough.
I would definitely get to work a lot fucking quicker, that's for sure. Get anywhere quicker. You know what I'd probably do? I'd probably leave one portal somewhere and just use the other portal to just get there as fast as I could.
I always so, have like, a portal home.
Yeah, basically. Oh, yeah, exactly. I always leave like the orange one like in my on my couch.
On your
and
couch.
Then yeah, and then just carry the gun around with me and just throw the blue one whenever I want to go home. It's like if I'm like hammered, I'm like and fall through and done. I'm on my couch.
You'd have to make sure that you shut off the blue one though, so no one could get to your house.
No one comes through there.
You like leave the orange portal open. It's like I came home and there was someone sitting on my couch. Ouch.
Oh, man.
That would be fun.
Anyone else before we go to the next one?
No, I'm good.
Jack Bauer follows it up with, does Jeff have any intention of going back to Mass Effect 3, or has he stopped lying to himself yet?
He stopped lying to himself. He's not going back to Mass Effect 3.
I will not go back to it anytime. I told myself I will, but I have to go back to it before... Darksiders gets released, because I think once that comes out, that's when the kind of flood of games is going to start after that, so...
I think once they release the epilogue shit, that's probably a good time to go back.
Yeah, probably, because, yeah.
Because you're already past the halfway point, I think.
Oh, I from most people I've talked to, I'm pretty close to the end, it's just
you've,
that I
you've already
build
done
up
the
my...
Geth Corian part?
Yeah, I think so, yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, you're like 2-3 hours out, man.
Yeah, and but the thing is, I want to build up my, my what's it called, so I don't get like a really shitty ending. Like my, what's it called, battle readiness or whatever. Yeah, yeah. Not the stuff you do multiplayer, the other stuff. Like do a lot of side missions to build up,
right.
Whatever. But yeah.
Well, I'll do multiplayer with you too before when
nah,
that stuff
I
comes
really
out.
Care about multiplayer.
This stuff's fun, dude. Yeah.
Is
it's
it?
Actually really fun,
it's
man.
Really good, yeah.
All right. We'll give it a try. We'll have to give it a try some weekend. But Biffstick says, if you were given a pink controller, would you use it or hide it?
I use Megan's pink PlayStation controller all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care.
I have a pink DS. I don't care. I've used that thing in public. So, yeah, I couldn't care. Pink's, whatever. It's another color.
Yeah. I'm secure enough with my masculinity. I'm good.
Exactly. I'm actually, I can't remember if we did this.
Just read
this
it.
This sucks because, okay, did we do this one? So, Navishin, seeing that you guys have played GTA 4, Red Dead, LA Noir, what's MP3?
Max Payne 3?
Oh, Max Payne 3. What informations do you hope will or won't come into GTA 5?
I want them to do what they did with Red Dead Redemption and put it in the modern day Grand Theft Auto setting. Like, the gold
you
struck with,
yeah.
with Red Dead, do that in Grand Theft Auto.
And put in the facial animations of Ellie Noir.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
There you go.
And slow motion shooting never killed anybody.
Well, it killed the people you were shooting at.
Yeah. And I would even go to say I wouldn't mind it more of a condensed storyline to drive you through the game more, just because that's my problem with GTA games. They're too open, and I never beat them, ever.
Same here.
But then again, they wouldn't be GTA games if they weren't open, so I can go fuck myself. That's what people are saying right now.
Jeff, we're just never going to beat GTA games. That's all there is to it.
It's pretty much not going to happen. I think that's pretty much it that I think. I thought there were some other ones we saved, but sorry guys if I didn't. If we didn't, just fucking tweet me or put in the thread or something. Just be like, you're an asshole, you missed these ones. Because I know there was that one day when we had like a crap load and when Travis wasn't here and we only read like half of them. And I was like, I'll get back to these later.
Right.
But I honestly can't remember which ones we did and which one we didn't. So, yeah.
Yeah.
You know sorry, what you guys. Need, Jeff? You need here. A spreadsheet.
I do need a... No, that's just ridiculous.
That's way that too much organization ridiculous. For a podcast, right?
Hell yeah. Fuck that bullshit.
Cool. All right. Let's move on then.
All right.
Question of the week?
Sure.
All right. So Jeff had a pretty good idea for next week's question. So I'm gonna let you guys know what the question of the week is, and I'm gonna let him elaborate a little bit. Right. So the question of the week for next week is, could you sacrifice graphics in your games if it meant keeping value, good teams together, continuing to make games?
Exactly. And this came to me because EA actually said in a release that Syndicate, they rebooted Syndicate, as everyone knows, like earlier this year. It didn't sell well, so the chance of us seeing another Syndicate game are pretty low. THQ just closed down a division. 38 Studios closed down because these games, good games,
made me cry.
Yep, because these games take so much money to develop, and if they don't make the money back, publishers aren't going to take another chance on them.
Right.
And with technology advancing as fast as it is, it's going to cost more money to make games better looking, the production values, to raise production values. Are you guys willing to sacrifice graphics, production values, all that stuff that drives a lot of the industry to keep these games being made, or these development studios being made, basically? It's development studios making these games. Beyond Good and Evil, we probably would have seen a number two if one actually sold like a lot, and if production values weren't going to be through the roof. So,
Last Guardian would probably be out already.
Yeah, probably.
All right, if you want to answer the question of the week, you can send us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can send us a voicemail as well. We appreciate those. That number is 706-760-4337.
It's not lead, it's feet.
You can also get us on Google Talk. That is interactivedistractions@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast. And individually, we are Indus Chris, Indus Travis, and Indus Geoff.
It is GE2OFF.
Geoff.
Steam, Geoff. Facebook, and Google Plus. We are Interactive Distractions. Just search for us, and I guarantee you will find us. And check us out on Retroids. You have our forums over there. Come by, register, and chat with us. There's a lot of gamers to hang out with, and I'm sure you can find someone. If you're looking for online players, I guarantee you there are people there that are going to be playing your game. So that is all I've got. You guys have anything before we wrap up and get out of here?
I do not think so.
I'm good.
That's it. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. If you did, please play a few friends about it.
Yeah, you can playing with friends is not a bad thing. Go for it.
Please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes or Zoom Marketplace, please leave us a review. We would appreciate it. So until next time, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
And I am Gio.
Play your games, and we will talk to you next week.